Come on, let's give God a hand, praise and make some noise. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. That's right. He knows my name. We thank God for the opportunity of being here. You guys are a wonderful, wonderful church family. And my children were so excited when they heard that we were going to be here two Sundays in a row. They said, Daddy, are we really going to be there two Sundays? Yes, we're going to be there two Sundays in a row. That is, if they don't throw me out between the two. I just want to say to the praise team and to the musicians, you guys are awesome. Let's give God a hand praise for them. And to Sister Mary Jo, you just keep our brother in your prayers. Wherever you are, I can't find you. But yeah, amen, amen. No, we're joking. We are so blessed to be here. Now, Pastor informed me that you guys were in the middle of a series entitled 10 Dumb Things That Smart Christians Believe. Amen. And I've discovered that there are a whole lot more than 10. Amen. Amen. That's right. Because the truth of the matter is you can be very, very intelligent and doctrinally and theologically inept. Those are the facts. And today's study is about the simple truth that a valley does not mean that you made a wrong turn. Those of you with your Bibles, go with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. And we're going to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and hear God's voice on the subject matter. Amen? And I trust that you understand we're not talking about any prophetic oracles or anything like that. But it is our conviction as long as we stay with the Bible and say what the Bible says, we know that God is speaking to us. Amen? John chapter 6, verse 45. When you get there, would you please say, He knows my name. Amen. I can still see some pages turning, so we are going to take our time. But don't panic, I'm not going to keep you here till 1 o'clock. Amen. John chapter 6, verse 45. Wonderful text of scripture that I'm sure you're quite familiar with. And it speaks directly to the subject matter. John chapter 6, verse 45, you'll find these words. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida. While he sent the multitude away, and when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining and rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, Be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. Amen. Can you guys hear me? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong text of scripture. Please forgive me. I really did mean John 6, verse 16. I am so sorry. Oh, my goodness. Don't tell anybody I'm the dean of the seminary. Well, I could preach on, I'm joking. But That's terrible. See, I got this new Bible, and it's wrong. No, I don't mean that. No. What I mean is I have this chronological study Bible, and I really like the way they put the scriptures together in chronological order as opposed to canonical order. So the pericope of Jesus walking on the water in Mark and in Matthew and in John, they're all on the same page, you know. So I'm looking at the wrong text. Please forgive me. John chapter 6, verse 16. Amen? Okay, here we go. All right. Now, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. Is that better?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And feel free to stop me anytime I make a mistake. Amen. 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 All right. Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. And verse 16 says, now, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. And he said to them, it is I. Do not be afraid. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word for the edification of our souls. I think we need to pray again. Let's get our focus right. Okay. Yeah. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the truth that my daughters have so eloquently articulated. Daddy, you're so lame. We just thank you for that. We ask, oh God, that in this moment of seriousness, that although we can have jokes and we can have a good time, we ask, oh God, humbly we ask, oh God, that you speak to us through your word today. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. As I think about this passage of scripture, the first thing that comes to my mind is a movie that was out several years ago with George Clooney in it. It was a movie called The Perfect Storm. It was a movie about these fishermen, and they made their living going out into these tempestuous waters and catching this fish and bringing them back to the land and selling this fish to provide for their families. And on this particular incident, they got out there on the water, out there in the ocean or the sea, wherever they were, and there was a storm that came on the sea. Now, they were fishermen. They were used to storms coming on the sea. But this storm was unique. It was a perfect storm. It was perfect because there was no way they could possibly get out of it. They thought that they could maneuver their boat in such a way that they could avoid the storm. And the more they tried to maneuver their boat, the more trouble they got into within the storm. And so it was the perfect storm. And the sad reality is that in that story, in that movie, they died in that storm. And if I'm not mistaken, that movie was based on a true story. But the hard reality is that in our lives that we all face difficulties. We all face dilemmas. We all face trials and tribulations. We all essentially go through valleys. Now, the problem is those of us who have given our lives to Jesus Christ, we have been led to believe that just because we go through a storm, just because we face a dilemma, we have some sort of way navigated ourselves out of God's will. Well, my brothers and my sisters, I'm here to let you know that just because you experience a difficult situation does not mean you made a wrong turn. Just because you experience a horrible situation does not mean you're out of God's will. Just look at this famous passage of scripture. The Bible says in verse 16, now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea and got in the boat and went over the sea toward Capernaum. Now, if you read this text in its context, you have to understand that this pericope comes right after the story where Jesus fed the 5,000 with a few pieces of fish and a few pieces of bread. Now, to understand the story in its context, it's imperative that we understand that pericope properly. You see, we understand that Jesus miraculously multiplied the fish. We understand that Jesus miraculously multiplied the bread. But aha, this is where we get the story confused. Jesus did not miraculously serve 5,000 plus people. Amen. He actually miraculously fed them. That is, he miraculously produced the meal. the lunch, the dinner, whatever you want to call it. But it was up to the disciples, those 12 men, to serve those 5,000 plus people. Now get this in your mind. Here Jesus is. He's performing this miracle. He has miraculously provided for these people to eat. And Jesus had told his disciples, he said, listen, make everybody in the crowd sit down. And when he multiplied this fish, they had the responsibility of actually taking this fish and making sure that it was properly distributed among these 5,000 plus people. Now, if we were statisticians, we would probably argue that there was more like, 25,000, something like that. You have to account for the fact that in scripture does not record the number of women in a specific context. So if there were 5,000 men and they were all married, that's 10,000 right there. And then they had 2.5 children, you know, and a dog and a cat and a hamster or whatever you want to call it. You know, there's a lot of people there. So these disciples had the responsibility of taking this food to 5,000 plus people. Now, after these 5,000 people ate their meal, they had to go back to the 5,000 plus people and take up and collect what was left over. So if you get a mental picture of the disciples of Jesus, after he miraculously fed these people, they were tired. Amen? At 5,000 people is a lot to serve amongst 12 guys. You know, they had to clean up after these guys, they had to serve these people, and they had to take care of the people who were listening to Jesus preach. After they did that and had that wonderful experience, the Bible says Jesus made them get into a boat and go towards the other side of the sea. Now, here we go. Now, I can imagine Jesus' disciples saying, okay, look, Lord, we've had a long day. We've listened to you preach and teach, and you know, we love that stuff. Now, we've actually served 5,000 plus people, cleaned up after 5,000 plus people. Now we're lugging around the leftovers, and we thank you for the leftovers. Now you want us to get in the boat with our tired souls and sail across the water. Lord, that seems like work on top of work to me. Okay, Jesus, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. So they get into the boat, and lo and behold, guess what happens? The storm comes on the sea. My brothers and sisters, let me let you in on a secret. Sometimes when you make a conscious decision to do God's will, you go into storms. You go into difficulties. It's not that you're in a difficulty because you're out of God's will. No, 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 no. You're in a difficulty sometimes because you're in God's will. Sometimes we often say to ourselves, the safest place in the world is in the will of God. But my brothers and my sisters, I'm here to share something with you. Sometimes the most dangerous place in the world is in God's will. Young people, listen to me and listen to me well. Now, I know you're in and out of relationships and you're in and out of, you're dating this person this week and you're talking to that girl the next week and all that other kind of stuff. And you're looking forward to the day when you can be married. And you look and you're praying about who you ought to marry and you're praying about what you ought to be doing and that sort of thing. And you believe that you've got a word from the Lord. You believe that you've got a confirmation from the Holy Spirit that you're supposed to marry this person, that you're supposed to commit yourself to this person for the rest of your life. But lo and behold, after you get married, that is when the difficulty starts. After you get married. Anybody, you know, can get married when the sun is shining. If my wife were standing up here today, she would tell you about how difficult marriage is. Amen. That's right. Because I'm a hard person to deal with. That's right. My children will tell you that. But the fact of the matter is, just because you make a decision to do God's will, it doesn't mean that everything is going to go your way. Do not be deceived. Do not be fooled into believing that if you get into the boat that Jesus tells you to get in, it's going to be a cruise like on the Love Boat. Amen. With Isaac as the bartender and Julie as the ship entertainer, right? And Captain Stubing is navigating the ship through the waters. I know some of you guys are too young to know about the Love Boat. But trust me, that show was the bomb. Amen. That's right. Yeah. But just because you get into the boat that the Lord tells you to get in, it doesn't mean that everything's going to go your way. Absolutely not. Some of you are thinking about going into missions. Some of you are thinking about going to Bible college or to a Christian university. Some of you are thinking about going to seminary. Listen, I'm not here to tell you that just because you commit your life to full-time Christian service, whatever that means, that everything is going to go your way. There's a song we used to sing in church, and the words were, "Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before." Let's be clear. I love Jesus. And the more I think about what he's done to me, the more I fall in love with him. But you know, when I think about some of the tough situations I've been in because I committed my life to Jesus, I got to disagree with the songwriter. Every day is not always sweeter than the day before. My sister, you can go ahead and clap. I feel you. Yeah, that's the truth. Now notice the text here. He commanded them, according to the Mark account, to get into the sea. But notice what it says here. The Bible says in verse 18, "Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid." My brothers and my sisters, listen. Just because you go through a dilemma, it doesn't mean that you're in God's will. Sometimes God deliberately puts you in a problem so he can show you a side of his character that you knew nothing about. Think about it. And according to John's gospel, they had seen Jesus turn the water into wine. According to John's gospel, they had seen Jesus heal the sick. According to John's gospel, they had seen Jesus miraculously multiply the fish and the bread. But Lord have mercy, they had never seen Jesus come tiptoeing out on the water. Could it be that the reason why you're in the mess that you're in is that God wants to show you something absolutely phenomenal? He wants to show you something absolutely miraculous. Could it be that God brought you into this mess just so he could blow your mind? And then when you come to church on Sunday morning and the praise team is singing that song, "He Knows My Name," you can stand up and raise your hands before the Lord with authority and say, "Yeah, he really knows my name." But see, here's the problem we have. We get into these situations after we've committed ourselves to the Lord. And what we do is we have that McDonald's mentality. I'm hungry and I want a Big Mac right now. I'm hungry. I want a double cheeseburger right now. We got that fast food, microwave, instant gratification mentality. Lord, I've committed my life to you. I'm in this mess, and I want you to relieve my pain right now. Listen, don't leave before it's time to leave. Can you imagine what would have happened if the disciples got out on the boat and out there on the water, and they saw the lightning flashing, and they heard the thunder roaring? And all the waves are tossing to and fro, and they panic, and they jumped out of the boat. Can you imagine what would have happened after that? No, you don't do that. If you do that, you miss the miracle. You miss seeing Jesus walk on the water. You miss Jesus comforting your soul. You miss out on all that. May I suggest to you that there may be some people who are here today who are in some tough situations, and you're thinking, "I done had it. I've had enough. I'm getting out of this. I'm getting out of this marriage. I'm getting out of this relationship. I'm getting out of this business. I'm getting out of this job." My brother, my sister, don't quit before it's time to quit. Sometimes the Lord wants you in a situation so that he can build up your character, so he can build up your faith. Amen. Let me share something with you. I started working out about 2 weeks ago. Oh, yeah, I did. But notice the language that I use. I started working out. See, my daughter, my wife and my oldest daughter, they started going to the gym together. You know what I mean? And I was thinking about the days when I was Mr. Muscle Bound. Amen. I had the flat stomach. Now, it's okay to laugh. There was a time when I really did. You know, you can't tell right now, you know. And so I decided I can't let them outdo me. So I was sitting in front of the TV with a nice, healthy Coca-Cola. And I decided that I was going to do some push-ups. And let me tell you something. I did every bit of three before I quit. Amen. Let me let you in on a secret. I can stand in the mirror all I want to, and my body is not going to miraculously turn into Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's just not going to happen. I got to get out there and I got to pump some iron. I got to run some laps. I got to get some exercise. Listen, the only way for you to exercise your faith is to get in a mess where you need the Lord to move in that mess. Just because you get into a bad situation, it doesn't mean that you stepped outside of God's will. Go with me in your mind's eye. One of my favorite passages of scripture. It's way back there in Exodus. God sent Moses into Egypt to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. Sure enough, eventually Pharaoh let the people go. And the people follow Moses out of Egypt to the Red Sea. They get to the Red Sea. That's their difficulty. They're crying and whining and complaining. Then they turn around and look. And go, oh, guess what? Guess who's coming? Pharaoh and his armies. Now, Moses, look at what you did. Right? Moses understood. Hey, just because we get into a difficult situation doesn't mean that we made a wrong turn. It doesn't mean that we stepped out of God's will. Absolutely not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. May I challenge you, under the auspices of the Holy Spirit, doesn't matter what you're going through, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The prophet Isaiah, he told the people, he said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Can I share something with you? I've discovered that the worst thing in the world about waiting is waiting itself. Sometimes you got to wait. You just have to wait. That's the way it is. See, God doesn't move on your time or my time. He moves on his time. The problem we have is that we get so comfortable and so cozy with his blessing and with his love that we confuse our will with God's will. The devil has deceived so many people in our churches. So many people. You know that lie. You know the one I'm talking about, don't you? God wants me to be happy. We use that lie to justify anything we want to do. Well, I'm at this job that the Lord blessed me with, and these people are getting on my last nerve. So you know God wants me to be happy. So I'm going to quit this job and go to another job. Okay, fine. Then you get to the next job and you say, well, you know what? God wants me to be happy. And these people at this job are getting on my nerves worse than the people at the other job. So I'm going to quit this job and go to another job. And then the cycle goes on and on and on and on. And then we get into relationships. You know, the thing about relationships is they're always good in the beginning. They're always good in the beginning. I don't know how many times I've sat in my study and one of the church members has said, Reverend, you know, the Lord wants me to be happy. And I have to do a little theological jousting. No, the Lord wants you to be holy. The Lord wants you to be holy. Yeah, you'll experience happiness from time to time in this life. But our ultimate happiness is when we get to heaven and spend eternity with the Lord on high. Yeah, you got to stay with the Lord even in that situation. Oh, yeah, let's be clear. Sometimes the Lord wants you to remove yourself from a situation. But don't make the mistake of believing that just because you experience a difficult situation that you got out of God's will. Notice the text, verse 19. The Bible says, so when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. And he said to them, it is I. Do not be afraid. Amen. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. I want to leave you with this word right here. Jesus said, when you get in the storm, remember, it is I. Don't be afraid. The old King James Bible says, be of good cheer. In other words, you can have a happy disposition because your trust is not in the storm, it's not in the waves, not in the lightning, but in the one who created the storm, created the waves, created the boat, created you and me. Remember his word. He says, it is I. Yeah, I know. Obama's been in office, well, for what, 7 months now? And prior to the election, everybody was under the impression, not everybody, not me, of course, because I know better than everybody else. That's a joke. Okay. Everybody was under the impression, well, once we get a new president, everything's going to be all right. Once we get a new president, everything's going to go our way. Now, nobody said that, but that was the message that was clearly communicated. Amen. And I'm not challenging anybody's politics. That's not the point. But the point is, we're still in a mess. Our country is still in an economic crisis. Yeah, things are a little better, I suppose, but we're still in a mess. Yeah, but we're not trusting in Obama. That's absurd. When Bush was in office, we weren't trusting in Bush. We're trusting in the God that we serve. Just because you go through a difficult situation, don't be naive enough to believe that you stepped out of God's will. Well, I was supposed to stop at 10:26. It's now 10:28. But let's keep that amongst ourselves. Amen? Would you please stand? We have a glorious, glorious opportunity. If you're here today and you have not trusted the Lord Jesus and received him into your hearts by faith, by trusting in the fact that he was buried after he died and he was raised up from the dead with all power in his hand, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. We want to make sure that you have that blessed assurance that you belong to him, even in your storm, even in your difficult situation. The Lord is able to rescue your soul from sin and the consequences of sin as well. If you're here today, come forward and give your life to him.